introduction to today's Zvas Emes. Let's see how to take this. In Kabbalah, the world of division is a fallen world. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is indivisible, right? Hashem is in body and soul. Hashem is in thought and speech. Hashem can be divided. Everything in our world can be divided. Atoms can be divided into subatomic particles. In the last century, demonstrating how much energy is released when you smash atoms and release some of the latent energy. You're different from one another. You're not the same person. Your clothing, everything in our world, there's nothing in our world that's indivisible. This table can be divided into molecules. So in Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is non-divisible. But our world is all... Jonathan, come, sit there. But our world is divided. And that's the fall of human beings. Part of the fall, when Adam HaRishon sins, is that he falls into division rather than non-divisibility. So much of the goal of Kabbalah is to recreate a world of indivisibility from a world of divisibility. Okay? Jonathan, you won't hear what I said before. This is a crucial introduction. In Kabbalah, division is a fall. The ideal world is like Hashem, indivisible. Even with no divisions, Hashem is one. There's no body, there's no soul, there's no conscious. We live in a world of division. Now, Yom Kippur is Me'ein Olam Haba, and therefore it's not just a day to fast and do tshuva, but on a higher plane, it's a day to try to reach indivisibility, try to reach achdus, to try to reach some of that fusion that's so uncharacteristic of our world. Now, the Tzfas Emes doesn't say this, but I also think that walking away from your senses on Yom Kippur helps that. It's part of what divides you with senses, your taste and your smell and your sight and your sound. You process them differently. In a non-divided world, all these senses merge. So at Har Sinai, where they were closest to Olam Haba, they saw the sound. How can you see sound? In our day, you can't see sound, because we live in a world of division as expressed by separate sensory experiences. And then Kippur, where we don't eat, and we don't drink, and we don't really sleep, and we don't really... So some of the senses are suppressed, and essentially, you have a non-sensory experience that is closer to Olam Haba. So this is nothing, this is just an introduction to today's Tzfas Emes. They fall into a divided world, the desire to redeem our world and once again unite. It's why Hasidim, when they perform a mitzvah, they say, L'shem Yichud Kutcha Brichu. Because the Kaddish Baruch also became divided, because he poured his indivisible identity into this world, but the world was incapable of maintaining that fusion. So it all split, and part of our role in this world is to take the parts of Hashem that have become separated and unite them. These are all high Kabbalistic ideas that Hasidus adopts. Okay, so what are the two psukim that are important for the Tzfas Emes of Yom Kippur, of Me'ein Olam Haba, as being a day of unification? So one is in Pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Nun Des, Ki im avano sechem hayu mavdilim ben yichem levein elokichem. Your sins separated you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the simple shot is that you're no longer close to Hashem, because Hashem's presence can't admit people of sin. But for the Tzfas Emes, the word mavdil suggests not just that you're distant from Hashem, but that you've fallen into a world of hevdel, of differences and of divisions and of segments rather than holistic, integrated, indivisible experiences. So sin plunges a person into a state of mavdilim. So you are separate from Hashem. Ideally, you should live completely fused to Hashem. Your identity, without any ego, without any sin, should be fused to Hashem. And the Havdalah, the separation of sin, was not just that you're far from Hashem because you don't serve Him anymore, but you're no longer experiencing that indivisibility and fusion. The Gemara, the second source, of three sources he quotes, the Gemara says that you don't receive kapara on Yom Kippur if you've sinned against a friend of yours till you ask him for appeasement. Achiratzis chavera. So you and I would think, why do I have to appease you? Because I hurt your feelings. So there's a consequence to the sin. And before I can achieve kapara for that sin, I have to eliminate the consequence. Your hurt feelings, your hurt reputation, your physical hurt. According to Tzfas Emes, no. The real fallout of that sin is that we're no longer fused as one people with Knesset Yisrael. So the fusion should exist not just between all the items in this world and between my senses and between myself and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we should be as close as possible. And the fallout of that sin is we're no longer fused and no longer indivisible. We've created divisions between ourselves. So the Ritzui is not just necessary so that you'll be appeased and my sin's consequences will be eliminated, but I should reach that higher state of indivisibility between people in Knesset Yisrael. So this is the Tzfas Emes' thrust. Yom Kippur, Olam Haba. Olam Haba, indivisibility. How do you create indivisibility that reflects Hashem? Obviously, tshuva, you're now closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by your appeasing a friend, asking for mechila, you're closer to that individual. He goes back to the fact that, of course, the luchos shneios were given, the second luchos were given in Yom Kippur. That has to be more than just the delivery of the second Torah. That has to be hooked, has to be integrated with the process of unification. Why were the first luchos broken? Because Moshe descends from the mountain and sees the people are parua. They're wild, chaotic. So we think that means morally chaotic, morally unrestrained. But for the Sosemis, parua means scattered, dispersed, non-united, disunified. So they've fallen further into a state of disunity. The luchos shneios are looking to recreate that unity, not just kapara, which is why it launches the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the Mishkan. What's the first word that describes the building of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, in the desert? Vayakel Moshe, Espinei Yisrael. Moshe gathers the people into one unit, because the Mishkan is not just a chance to achieve legal kapara, it's a chance to create the unity that was compromised when we fell into sin. So the luchos shneios launches Vayakel in response to Peruah. So I haven't even quoted the main pasuk with which this Vasemis begins. This is all an introduction, and I'll quote the pasuk very briefly. Okay, again, the world that we live in is a divided world. That's Kabbalistic. Hashem is also divided. All of our experiences are divided. All material is divided. When Olam Haba comes, we'll live in a much more unified world. We'll live without our sensory experiences. We won't have a body. Hashem's Malchus will be unified, and his essence will be unified, not just in terms of people recognizing and acknowledging him, but also his essence, cosmically, will be more unified. Yom Kippur is not just a chance for kapara, but it's a chance to taste Olam Haba. We don't eat, we don't drink, our senses are suppressed, we feel more integrated and holistic rather than divided and compartmentalized. And that's why Yeshaya describes Chait as Mavdilim. That's why you have to appease your friend if you've hurt his feelings, not just to eliminate the toxic consequences, but to create fusion and integration between people. That's why the luchos shneios, the living in Yom Kippur, ushered in the response to the dispersion that they fell into through their sin and created a unity that wasn't just necessary as a precondition for the Mikdash, but also as the purpose of the Mikdash, was to create that unity. Okay. What's the pasuk he quotes? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Very interesting pasuk. It appears in a medrash. Not many people are aware of this pasuk and its association with Yom Kippur. Rabban HaMelech tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kuf Lamed Tes in Tehillim, Gol mi ra'uin, how you saw my body, and you will write on your books, all of them. That's an interesting Yom HaDin type imagery, writing on books. Al Sifracha Kulam Yikasevu. It's one of the only references in Tanakh to a Sefer of Hashem that he writes human beings accounts in. Kuf Lamites. Yamim Yatsiru, you created days. And here's the key word, V'lo Echad. The way it's written is Vav Lamed Aleph. V'lo Echad. It's not one. The way it's read is V'lo Echad. Lamed Vav. And it is one. So the way it's written is v'lo echad. It's not like any other day. But the way it's read is v'lo echad. You made days v'lo echad. And there's one day that's echad. So we think echad. So Chazal Darshan, this is Yom Kippur. Yamim Yatsiru. V'lo echad ze Yom Kippur. So why is Yom Kippur called v'lo echad? So the symbol of shad is for Hashem. Hashem is echad. Yom Kippur is dedicated to Hashem. Because Vasem is echad doesn't just mean Hashem. It means the unity that reflects Hashem. The Lo Echad means it's a day to achieve this unity, not just solidarity, we're all together, but cosmic unity and non-divisibility. The Lo Echad. Yamim Yatsiru, we have many days during the year. The Lo Echad Bohem. And there's one day that's Echad, not just unique, but Lo Echad Bohem. It's the day of trying to remove the divisions in our world, in our experience between people, and ultimately between ourselves and our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So tshuva, for the Sfas Emes, is not just legal, and it's not just purification, it's not just coming close to Hashem, it's a degree of fusion between all the aspects of our world that have been divided. Okay? Yamim Yatsiru V'Lo'acha. Tomorrow, last day of Sukkim, we'll talk about Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva. We say that pasuk a lot during Yom Kippur. What do we mean? Okay. Jonathan, you look like